This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers training and education for referees of all levels. And now it's weekly. Available to listen to every Friday from 5pm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and online at refereesworld.co.uk. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is PGMO Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator and my mentor, my refereeing hero, Richard Mellon.
Hello, Darren. Thanks very much for the introduction.
I like to do the build-up for you.
Oh, that's a build-up, is it?
Nothing more than you deserve.
I'm excited on this occasion to be doing this podcast.
Good. Before we start this episode, got a few little stats to share with you. And basically, these stats are based on what we have at the time of recording this. So, you ready, Rich?
Yep, really. Let's go for it.
Over the last month, we've averaged 139 subscribers per day. That's according to Google Feedburner. So that's fairly good. People are deciding that they're going to listen to us.
Good stats. So it's working.
We now have 5,241 followers on Twitter, 1,160 likes, and 1,181 follows on Facebook. We also send out a weekly email to let you know that it's all ready and ready to go. And that's on MailChimp. Right. OK. Top 10 countries that we got listeners in. You ready for this one?
Yes, if you could impress me.
Right. At 10, Japan. Ooh. At 9, France. At 8, Finland. At 7, Austria. At 6, Germany. At 5, Canada. At 4, the Netherlands. At 3, Ireland. At 2, the US of A. And obviously, number 1, here in the UK. Hello to you if you're listening in at another country that we haven't yet mentioned. So, right, a couple of other bits to mention here, Rich. On Twitter, just say hello to Referee Fights Back. Ref Fights Back is his Twitter name. Hello, my name is Dennis and I've been a referee for over 20 years. During this time, no one knows my name. Watch my video to hear my story about referee abuse, which I think is quite interesting.
Okay, worth a look, I think. Not always good to talk about the abuse side of refereeing, but we like to talk about the performance of our referees, the development, the education of our referees, so we can help deal with that situation. So it is worth looking at there.
Hello to Vicky Allen, at Vicky M. Allen. She's a FIFA assistant referee and former at Scottish FA refereeing youth ambassador of change. Says, Mum and Dad are having a clear out of theirs and they find this, so I see no little evil monkey face, tears of joy. It was always meant to be, and it's a little photograph of a refereeing doll that she was given by Mum and Dad, which I think is quite sweet.
Yeah, all those years ago.
Yeah. And very quickly, I need to mention an email that we've had from Adrian Berry, who's from Salisbury, was basically dropping us a line to say, great podcast, guys, keep up the good work. This is my first season as a level 4 and pace has ramped up. Player expectation is key, must give the mandatories and be fit. We heard you talking about handball, it's a tricky one. I was in an excellent position just outside the box when the striker shot on goal and the defender did a sliding block but put his hands above his head. Due to good positioning, I blew for the pen immediately. The defender was rolling around on the floor holding his head and I was under a lot of pressure. The physio made an attempt to come on the field and I said no. I knew the player was faking it. As he got to his feet with players giving me grief, I gave him a quick yellow card for deliberate handball. This incensed the defending captain. I was just about to give him a 10-minute break, i.e. sin bin, when the player, getting to his feet, said, I wish it did hit me in the face. The skipper then apologised. He stayed on the field and we had a good tight game.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks, Adrian, for sharing that. That is really, really encouraging for all our listeners and commendable that you stuck to your guns. Just so long as you see it and you know exactly what you've seen, just keep going. Keep going.
And Adrian, thanks very much for getting in touch. You can get in touch as well through the website. Go to refereesworld.co.uk. So here's what we're doing now. If you are a new listener, thanks very much for finding us wherever you are in the world. Changed it slightly from what we did 10 years ago, Rich. We started this. I was looking at this the other day.
Thanks.
10 years ago.
That's aging me.
So
actually, it's aging you.
It's aging all of us.
You've got a young family now.
That's exactly right. So that was part of the reason why we had a little bit of a break. But we're now back and we're now every Friday. You can download from 5pm. And we try to keep it to 20-minute sections when we get into the meat of the podcast episode, which we're going to go into now. Are you ready to start the timer?
I'm just calling the timer up on my Fine, just
that's
bear
it.
With me.
Hit your egg timer up.
Here
Rich.
We go, ready.
And go.
Yes, here we go.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referee's World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referee's World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. 20 minutes now, and we're going to go straight into this particular episode with a guest. Rich, who is our guest?
Our guest is Level 6 referee, Rob McDonald. Rob McDonald is a Somerset FA registered referee, and without stealing too much of his thunder, I'll let him introduce a little bit of himself.
So, Rob, welcome to the Referees World Podcast. Thanks for coming in. On what is your birthday today?
Yeah, thank you. I'm 34. I'm feeling it.
34 years young. So very quickly, before we go into a chat, which Rich is going to take the lead on, just tell us a bit about your refereeing background.
Well, I started, as Rich said, playing football. Unfortunately, got hit by a car about 3 years ago and wanted to still be involved in the game. I got asked to go by a friend of mine who's a manager of a football club to go down and do a couple of pre-seasons. Really enjoyed it. And he went, you need to get on the course. And he pushed me in the right direction. And absolutely loving it, yeah. It's given me a new sort of motivation in life.
Did you at any point think, oh, I wish I'd done this earlier?
Yes. Mm. I wish I'd never played and just gone straight into it. But I do feel that playing has helped me with the refereeing because you know what you're looking for at times.
Well, you see both sides of the coin, don't you?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know the tricks of the trade. I mean, being a centre-back when I was playing, you know what they try and get away with. So you always keep trying to keep an eye out for stuff like that. Yeah. And you know what goes on in the boxes because you've been there so many times.
Excellent work. Okay, well, look, let's crack on with this. Rich is going to take a lead on the interview, so I'll hand you over to Rich.
Yep, thanks for that, Darren. Rob, we met about nearly 2 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly was, down at Wellington on the Under-18s Development League.
Okay, and what decided you to sort of take the opportunity to get some feedback? Why? Why did you do it?
I wanted to develop as a referee, and as I say, I was asked to go down to get some help because I probably was a little bit overconfident, I thought, but maybe I thought I was a better referee than I was, and I'd been told that basically I wasn't, but I obviously went down to get some help and I met yourself, and like I say, I wouldn't be where I am without you.
You're very kind to say that, but that's not why I asked you the question. But what I'm trying to get at here is there are many referees that are coming into the game, young referees, much younger than yourself, if I might add that comment. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
The situation is that with so many referees coming into the game, and I'm understanding that the stat at the moment in the around the UK is 80% of the referees that come into the game as newbies are under 20. So that's a huge number that are coming in with not a great deal of experience in football, not a great deal of experience in life, but you decided to find a mentor. And here you are, a mature adult, and you've come into football refereeing quite late, but you want to progress as quickly as you can. So do you believe that having a mentor, having some feedback can help your development?
It certainly can. That just because I can't see what I'm doing I can see what I'm doing personally, but I think what I'm doing is correct. But actually, you don't see everything as a wider picture. So to have the coaching, the mentoring from someone that's got experience as yourself, it's fantastic. I recommend it to anybody.
Okay, but not all of the feedback that I give you is all pretty and fluffy, is it?
No, certainly isn't, and that's how I like it. I want it to be straightforward, tell me how it is, because I won't learn.
Okay, Rob, I'm 5'6", and not very tall, as you can guess by that description. Give me some stats about yourself. How tall do you stand?
Oh, I'm 6'5".
6'5", and 18 stone?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're working on it. And those were just a couple of the things that we touched on when we first met, wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah. I had to get quite a bit of weight off. When I probably first met Rich, I was about 21 stone and had to get, obviously, some weight off. But also the height is something Rich has, yourself has obviously said that you missed while you were refereeing.
Well, you got my share. I mean, me at 5'6", you're 11 inches taller than me. So you've got something in your locker that is very useful for refereeing. And you can impose a presence by using your physique, whereas me at 5 foot nothing, you know, I've got to work on other areas of my game. So I can combine the two areas, one that I needed to have in my game and one that I did have in my game. And I combined, you know, the two to help me. So it's about helping anybody who wants to take on any advice. The biggest thing that you've taken on in terms of the challenges in refereeing, what are they?
A big one was the fitness. I was quite, I think the best word is lazy. And I thought when I first started, I could turn up being 21 stone unfit and try and get around the pitch. But that was a massive challenge for me, trying to get the weight off and trying to make myself as fit as I can to get the views and the angles that you need on the pitch to be able to give the correct decisions. The other thing I find that was quite difficult was the challenges that the game can give you.
So you were convinced that you needed to be in better position,
yep,
which required better fitness level.
Yep.
But you were an ex-player that came out of the game. Surely you were fit.
Well, you'd like to think so, but no.
Not fit enough.
Not fit enough. Okay. I found that the levels I need as a levels I needed as a player weren't the level I was playing at weren't as high as what I need as a referee to be able to get from box to box and get into the angles that you need to be able to get that perfect view.
Yeah, refereeing is quite demanding. So you've come, you're middle of your second season, and you decided just before first lockdown in March that you were interested in the St George's training camp that Par 4 Sports put on.
Certainly was, yeah.
What made you want to get involved in that, and in the end, why did you go?
I wanted to make myself better as a person and as a referee. I obviously, with Lee Probert on board, with Rich, Andy Garrett and Mark Hammond, the team that they'd set up was incredible. The vast amount of knowledge, the experience that they could offer us as referees was second to none. To be treated to the facilities that we had as well was and treated as professional referees was incredible. It really was.
And the 20 of you have got a bond now. It's a bit like I'm a Celebrity, isn't it?
You know? Certainly
You're
is,
friends
yeah.
for life. Like,
certainly
you know?
Am, yeah. I met some very, very good people on that course, and yeah. I think, yeah, definitely friends for life. People I wouldn't necessarily have met previously.
Mm. So, the St George's training camp, give us a brief description of it, 2-minute description of what went on and what you had to do.
I think 3 words, fitness was a mad one. Mark Hammond giving us several beastings on several pitches, but it was pushing us to our full potential. I mean, arriving there, we met Lee and the team, and we were basically told we're going to be treated as Premier League referees. So timings, you had to be there or the door was shut. It was, you had to be here, different schedules and stuff like that. So you had to meet your guidelines and stuff like that. Stuff like your breakfast at a set time, so you were there ready for your fitness, so you weren't then struggling with your fitness. To be ready then to go into the classroom work and then also pitch work and stuff like that.
Okay. What sort of, let's talk about classroom work. What sort of classroom stuff did you do?
So we had a lot of clips. So we had clips to give us what we thought we'd seen from one angle to prove that actually getting better angles is always better. So a lot of clips and stuff like that, a lot of discussion work, every aspect of refereeing.
Okay, and then when we got out onto the pitches for a little bit of physical, what did you experience there? And what were the objectives of some of the sessions?
With the pitch work, dynamic movements, how to do stuff, assistant refereeing with Andy Garrett, so optimum positions, flagging, stuff like that. You had playing advantage and working through different phases of plays and stuff like that. Whistle tones and stuff like that, because obviously whistle tones can help you while you're working on the field of play.
Okay, let's just focus on one particular area quite quickly. You mentioned working with Andy Garrett.
Yeah.
Now, Andy's done a colossal amount of games as a Premier League assistant referee and a great career, which has just come to a conclusion by his own retirement, decision to retire. What did you learn from Andy?
Obviously, different the way, different way to signals, positioning, obviously how to assist the referee as well. So make sure you come in and be an assistant as opposed to being sort of a hindrance, I think is the best way to put it.
Okay. What were the tips that you got about positioning and signals? Because everybody knows about signaling and positioning, surely.
So obviously you've got to be clear and precise.
Focus.
Definitely focus and concentration. Yeah, you've got to be switched on for every minute of that game to make sure you're like I said, assisting the referee rather than causing him any hindrances, and to work out, together as that team.
Describe one of the drills. I remember one of the drills where you were an assistant referee along with the other guys, where we split the groups into two. What did you learn from that particular drill?
That particular drill was helpful with, so one part of the pitch was split up with Lee doing dynamic movement with movements across the pitch and then into a advantage situation, which then moved into a position in the attacking area with a foul, a goal kick, a corner. So we then had to think on our feet while we were going to give the correct decision. As we were working down the line, side crabbing, you'd then get given details on what the foul was or what the decision was, and you then had to give the correct decision with the correct flag and making sure that it was in the right position, basically, because you don't want to be giving a corner flag decision for a decision where you're giving that on the 18-yard box. You want to be right on the corner flag.
Yeah, so the point of the whole exercise was all about teamwork,
yeah,
coordination, eye contact, which is an important feature for assistant referees with their referee,
is
to make sure that you don't do cross decisions.
Yeah.
Like one given a goal kick, the other given a corner kick. That never happened because the drills were designed to make sure that you worked on the basics.
Yes, certainly were.
You know, and so, okay, moving on. After 4 days, how did you feel?
Absolutely battered. The amount of knowledge they pumped into, you guys pumped into us, the fitness, again, I can't even say, I was pushed to a whole new level, which was incredible. That alone, I mean, I think I needed 2 days to recover just to catch up with recovery mainly. Just so happened I ended up on a game 3 days later, which was hard work, I'll tell you that, after those 4 days.
Well, I know you were a bit apprehensive when you went into the training camp and everybody settled in and we gave the expectation and everybody delivered it without exception. The whole group were tremendous. The thing I noticed about your performance was, whilst you were apprehensive and doubtful about your ability, because you said, I won't be able to keep up with anybody, on the box-to-box, 40 of those in one session, box-to-box with a brief recovery time, you did how many?
I covered the full 40 distance.
40. And you didn't expect to get half of that, did you?
No. I'd done quite a bit of work beforehand in the first lockdown because I'd seen what I believed from the group in the previous Zoom meetings that we'd done previously leading up to St George's Park. And I looked at and thought there was an awful lot of what I call young, fit referees. And I looked at myself and thought, I'm not going to be of standard.
Let me just remind you, at 34, Rob, you're young and fit.
Wow.
I can give you that feedback here in the studio.
Well, yeah, but looking at the 18, 19, 20-year-olds there, there were a lot, probably half my weight, and definitely a lot fitter than I was. However, I believe pushing through that 40, we did it as a team as well, which helped push along.
You bonded.
Yeah, and yeah, we made sure everybody, well, as many that could get through without the niggling injuries that a few had, yeah, we got through it.
Okay, so let's go just after now, St George's Park. This season, how's this season started? You're level six, having gained your promotion last season from level five. What are your aspirations for the next 5 or 6 months? Fingers crossed that everything goes ahead.
So fingers crossed everything goes ahead. As you said, I want to get that next promotion to level five. I think I've got one more observation to do. So hopefully that will come. And
will you share what's happened so far on your observations?
You've had two. So I've had two.
Just briefly.
I've had one that was standard expected. That was my first one. I must admit, I thought possibly it was better than standard expected, but I mean,
we all think we're better than what we are.
I certainly do, and I need to keep my feet on the ground. But that's one thing that I need to keep my feet on the ground, keep working hard. The second one was above standard. I really did notice a difference in, especially with now clock all my distances on my watch. So in that particular game, I covered 5.12 miles, which I'd have never covered when I first started. And I say, above standard, I was very, very happy with that. Referee's World.
match incidents.
Thanks for that, Rich. And Rob, thank you very much. Before you go, we like to try and get a match incident that is memorable to you from our guests. So have you had many so far?
There's one that strikes my mind seeing as Rich is sat here with us.
Go on then, share that one with us, mate.
Penalty kick, I've given it. It was a penalty kick. Set it all up, told the keeper not to encroach, and told obviously the players on the edge of the box not to encroach. Penalty's taken, and I order a retake because the keeper has come off the line.
Ooh, okay. And what happened?
Needless to say, it wasn't a massive gap. It was a big learning curve for me. Looking back, going by from what Rich said, he probably wasn't that much off the line at all.
When you say not much off the line, are we talking a couple of feet or are we talking inches here?
Inches. It was probably a step, if that. Yeah. It was a huge learning curve. And as Rich said to me after the game, which he wanted to grab me as quick as he physically could.
I'll bet he did.
He said to me, obviously, don't put your head in the lion's den. Don't cause yourself issues that you don't need. He also stated that in, I want to say, 75, 80 years of refereeing, not quite that old, maybe.
No more.
He asked me the question, in how many times had he seen a penalty retake in the time he'd been refereeing and in the time that he'd been mentoring and coaching? I said probably 2, 3, maybe 4. And he said, no, I was the first one.
Yeah.
I'll take that acclamation.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Well, and the whole, as we say quite regularly here on the Referees World podcast, every game is a learning curve. Every game is different and you will walk away with something new from that game. And indeed, you would have done with penalty retakes.
Certainly will, yeah. I won't do that again.
Hey, listen, Rob, happy birthday, mate, once again. And thanks very much for being a guest on the Referees World podcast. Brilliant.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing me down.
This is the Referees World podcast.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And our guest today, Rob McDonald, level 6 referee. We're looking to have more guests over the coming episodes. Lee Probert's going to be coming up very soon. We were going to get him today, but he's doing his nails, so he can't do it. God forbid we pull a referee away from having their nails done on the day.
Yeah, I'm not making comment about that.
And don't forget, if you are a new listener, thanks very much. You can listen to all the previous episodes of the Referees World podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or at the website, refereesworld.co.uk, and we'll speak to you next time.